You just keep on fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting because the investment is worth it. There's no greater investment we've been given than our children on the earth. None. So children, as you saw this video, young people, as you saw this video, understand every time a word is spoken to your life by your mother, it's for your good and not for your hurt. It's for your benefit and not for your loss. It's out of love, not out of hate. Remember that. And even when you slam the door in your mother's face, or when you curse at your mother, or you say you hate her, or you don't love her, or leave me alone, or you don't understand, or whatever you want to say, that's not going to shut them up, and it's not going to make them go away. Remember Baltimore, Maryland? Can I get amen? People want to bring child abuse. Are you serious? He's throwing rocks at policemen, and a mom goes cold cock them, and they want to make her put her in jail. Are you kidding me? Yay, mom. Beat the living you know what out of it. Yay, mom. Good Lord. We need mom to do that. She's beating that 16-year-old around like he was a 3-year-old. That was funny. Moms don't give up. Awesome. All right, children, be dismissed. If you have an offering, bring that. Be dismissed to Sunday school. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs 31 this morning. And don't nobody leave. We have a drawing we're doing. You don't want to miss that. I want to wish the two most important women in my life Happy Mother's Day. And I don't want to do it both ways, so it's not in a certain order where they get offended. So I wish my mom and my wife and my mom, a Happy Mother's Day. I feel the presence of God in here this morning through the music was beautiful. And something I'll do a little different this morning at the end of service. The Lord just really spoke to me to do this clearly yesterday is, you know, we always get the moms up after service and do our mother's picture and do that thing. But I'm going to do a special declaration prayer over the moms this morning. I don't know if I've ever done that before. A special declaration prayer over all moms because every mother in here is facing a different challenge. Every mother in here is facing a different issue. And, you know, you find out, you know, I met a guy yesterday. He's got two little kids. And I said, oh, enjoy them. They're like 3 and 1. Enjoy it, enjoy it, enjoy it. You know, because you realize as they get older, guess what? You're still their mom, right? And just because they hit 16 or 22 or 45 doesn't mean that all of a sudden you're not their mom. And so motherhood continues. And I hate to inform you if you didn't know this, but you're just never off duty. And you're always on. So we're going to say a special declaration prayer because mothers need the strength to go forward and the strength for their family and their homes and the strength to continue to fight because the world is clawing at our at your seed, at your children to destroy them. Now, like I said, I have a firsthand eye view of what my mother is. My wife's a mother of 3 children. And we've been through many stages from, of course, little children to bigger children to almost grown children. And we've been through different stages, and we've seen the challenges that that brings. And as a mother, it is the hardest role and the hardest job and the hardest thing in the life you'll ever, ever do. See, we can't, mothers I'm talking about, can't just turn off the unlove button. I don't love you no more, don't care for you no more. Even when we say, do what you want, I'm done, we're not done. We're just mad. There's a big difference. We're never done. Because see, no, children don't realize that the prayers we say for them, the times we're on our knees for them, the times our mind is occupied by them, and how they completely can dictate even our daily lives and consume us because we just can't let go. That's normal. See, what's not normal is a mother that doesn't care. What's not normal is a mother that doesn't pray for her kids. What's not normal is a mother that does say, I don't care anymore, go on. A true mother and a true heart of a mother will always love their children, will always pray for their children, will always care for their children. Even in the most difficult times, they will always have this inner thing saying, I can't let go. Why can I let go? Because God gave you that child. We as mothers, not me, you as mothers have to be responsible for the seed God has given you. There is no child that's a mistake, and there is no mother that became a mother by mistake. Now, we may, in our mind, have not planned our motherhood. We may have said, I wish it would have worked out a little differently in a different situation, but it was not a mistake because God is the giver of all life. And we have to believe that when life is given by God, it's given for a purpose and for a reason, and that every seed that's on the earth is supposed to be here with a destiny of a future that God has ordained. We may not know what that is for a long time. Our seed may not know what that is for a long time. But there is a purpose for every child that is born, and there's a purpose for every mother that has that child. And you have a call, a high call, above any call of most importance. Statistics say that it takes about $250,000 to raise a child from 0 to 18 years old. Each child, you spend $250,000 on each child that you have over 18-year lifespan. So if you got three kids like me, we're looking at $750,000. So when I'm old, I better be well taken care of, is all I'm saying. For Rodney, $1 million even. $1 million he'll spend on his family till they're 18. That's amazing. Because it's just cost. And you know what, as a mother, you put yourself or your kid above your own needs. You know, there's so many times, Melanie's very, she's very untypical here. She is not a really a shopping woman. I mean, she likes, you know, she's not like Wilma Flintstone, you know. Charge! You know, she's not one of them kind of women. And I'll say, honey, go get some clothes. You know, I know you need some new clothes. And, well, the kids need clothes. Through the year, the kids need clothes. And they need shoes. And, you know, not so much anymore with the other two, but still with Ashley. You know, well, she needs clothes. And she needs clothes. And she'll put her own kids' needs above her own needs, whatever that is. She's even telling me, oh, I feel guilty spending money on myself and my kids need things. That's a mother's heart, isn't it? Not as dad's. I'm going golfing. Get his own shoes. Yeah, that's the difference in a man and a woman. We're like, you know, they'll be all right. Let them fend for themselves. But not a mama. Even your most frustrating moments, mama just can't let go. There's something. And see, God made y'all so special and so different. Mothers can multitask like no other creature I've ever seen. I mean, who do kids call in the middle of the night when they have a bad dream? What comes out of their mouth? Very few times, Daddy! Mama is what comes out of the mouth. Mama. When I was growing up, I didn't bother Dad. He was snoring like a saw log. I was about to wake him up. Because he'd be like, leave me alone, out of bed. No, I knew Mom would bring me the peanut butter cookies and milk. And if you were here a couple of weeks ago, you know what that means. So Mom was the one that would comfort me. Mom was the one that was there for me. In fact, I had an incident, and it's going to sound so bad, but I will just say it. And it was all in fun. It really was. I was trying to make Melanie realize the magnitude of my fear that moment. We went away, as you know, okay? We went away on a little trip. And me and Melanie, for the first time ever, we took a cruise. Never been on a cruise, so we did one, just me and her. It was not the best experience. it was okay. It was great being with her, time away from the children and away from y'all and away from everybody. It was great. And it made me miss y'all much more. Y'all look much better today than you did last week. So see, it worked. But we went on a 5-day cruise, and we did not have very good weather. The tropical storm was brewing. We missed one of our ports. We couldn't even land on our port, or port on our port, or dock on our port, however sea talk is, because of the storm. So one night, we're in a cabin, you know, and the boat's rocking pretty good. I mean, Melanie loved it because it rocked her to sleep, you know. I'm sitting there just freaking out, you know. I'm like, what if this thing tips over? You know, I'm seeing Titanic all in my mind again. I'm hearing the music. Oh, I'm hearing it. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to die in the ocean and not going to see my kids ever again. I mean, I'm just, you know, I know you're a man of faith. You're a preacher, and you're leading us. I know, scary, huh? I'm like, man. And so we're sitting there, and I'm laying in bed, and I'm sitting there, and I tell Melanie, honest to goodness, and I'm 44 years old, and I'm laying in bed, and we're just rocking, and it's, oh, my gosh, you hear the cringing. That's not good. You hear cringing. You hear the cringing. And I say, I want my mommy. Exactly what I said.
And Melly said, James, man up. I was trying to make a point that I was in a really bad place. And I just wanted to be back on land. Something that wasn't moving. So anyway, it was... yeah, I know. Melly was cool. I mean, she didn't mind walking like this the whole time. I was like, this, good Lord. I mean, we were walking. I went, one person, I said, man, this, I said, I can't even walk straight. And the woman said, yeah, blame it on the ship. Sure. I'm like, it is the ship. I'm not taking nothing. It was crazy. But immediately, I really did think about, I just want to be back home. And home is where mama's at, right? You're safe when you're with mama. And I so wish I'd had her sitting with me in the hall of that ship with peanut butter cookies and milk. It's going to be okay. As the milk's spilling out of the glass, it's going to be okay. Something about a mama that gives you just comfort, even when you're grown, that you just know she's always going to be there. See, when your wife fusses at you, you got mama, right? You know, when your husband's all nagging at you, you got mama. He's being mean to me. Blah, let me have a hold up. That's how mamas are. The thing that's great about mamas, they're always on your side. Even when you're wrong, you could be locked up 3 to 5, 20 different times. They're innocent because you're mama. They shouldn't be in there. I mean, that's how mamas work. Dad's like, leave him in there. He needs to learn. Mama's like, oh, bless his little heart. There's convicts that may try to do stuff to him. Well, you know what? We told him all his life what will happen. Difference in moms and dads, completely different. Mom's heart is so tender, and it just can't let go. And there's something about a mother that we see the love of God like no other vehicle on the earth. Because, see, mothers do love unconditionally. Mothers love, even if the kids don't love back, even if the kids don't show that love back, mothers still love. You know, there's a lot of broken adult mothers who have adult children, that children have left their families or don't have communication with mom. Mom still needs that. Mom still hurts for that. Mom still longs for that. And just because, you know, the child's not part of a mother's life, maybe on a daily basis, doesn't mean that they're not always in her heart. You know, when Melanie had her surgery about 6 weeks ago, her mom lives in Nebraska, about 1,000 miles away. And I called Kathy to update on what was going on with Melanie. And you know what she told me? She says, you know, I've been pacing the floor. I can't think of nothing else. I've been so waiting to hear from you. I've been so worried. It's all I can think about. Think about her not being able to be there for her daughter, being 1,000 miles away, knowing she was in surgery. 1,000 miles didn't separate her love or her attention from her mother. Melanie was still in her thoughts, just like she was right there. You just can't get away from that. Let's read Proverbs 31. This is a chapter that we're probably familiar with. Talks about the virtue of a good woman. Talks about wives, mothers, just all that a woman does. And I thank God. Men, don't you thank God for your women? Where would you be? You got one amen. That's pitiful. Men, where will we be without our women? I mean, my Lord, really think about what you do. You know, if I need, you know what I do if I need something to wear? I just go find something wherever it's at and put it on. Not Melanie's going to make sure she washes something first, right? Guys ain't quite the same way. I wore that. That's okay. It's got a little spot there. I'll throw it on. Melanie takes care of the laundry, and women take care of majority of the time of the cooking and the domestic things of the home and the children and the running around from school and picking them up and dropping them off and the homework and, you know, all the stuff and all the errands. Plus, most mothers work now, full-time jobs, so you got home life, you got work life. You're a wife to your husband. You're a mother to your children. Then where does that leave you for who you are? You know, Melanie has said before, not in any negative way, just how it is. Melanie has said before, I've lost myself. I've been a wife for 23 years. I've been a mother for 20 years. You know, I've been a pastor's wife for 13 years. I've got a role here, a role here, a role here, but where's my role? Who am I? Where's Melanie went? Where's the little girl went? Where's the teenage girl went? Where's the young woman went? Who am I? See, I think women have a hard time. Sometimes they lose their identity of who they are because they take on so many roles that they almost lose their own individual identity. Even a woman, which I think is right, of course, I'm not saying it's not, but a woman even takes on their man's name when they get married. Melanie's now a Lewis, whether she wants to be or not. She's a Lewis because we got married, by George, and it's a Lewis. And the only thing that can change that is she leaves me. She's not going to leave her sugar daddy. She knows better than that. So she's with me. So you almost lose who you are as a woman. And so because you do take on so many roles. You know, when the child, and I hear mothers complain about this, and to me, they've talked about it, and I was the same way. When our children were little, and they'd be crying the night, when they were first born and crying, Who you think got up and took care of them? Melly did. I wasn't about to get up if Melly was. See, I used to say, they'll be all right, let them cry. I used to say that. I can't let them lay in there and cry. They'll stop in a little bit, and they'd cry. I just got to go in there. Okay, that's the difference. A mama's got to go and take care of it. That's how God made you. I thank God for that tenderness of a mother's side. I thank God that he put that in you. So many roles you play. So much work that you do. And how unappreciated it truly is by so many people. You know, we're in a society now where most time both parents in the house work. If there's two parents, both work. And then you got, I think about single moms. How single moms, their lives, how hard they are. Raising children by themselves. Working a job, providing. And having the missing link of a father in the home. How hard that is. Then you have step-parents in here maybe today. Melanie had a wonderful stepdad that raised her from the time she was a little girl and was like her own father. A step-parent that take in kids that are not by them blood-wise, but yet raise them like their own and give all they have into their lives. It's wonderful to be a mom, and I thank God I'm not. I thank God I can just skip off to the golf course or whatever. And I don't really golf, but you know what I'm saying. I can just, she'll handle it. She'll handle it. She's got it. And Melly's telling me that. You know I'm going to handle it. You know I'm going to do it. I know. I'm not being ugly or mean. It's just how we're made up. I do care. And I'm a pretty good dad, I think. I'm a pretty good father overall. I'm not like a deadbeat dad. I don't want you to think that. I'm just saying mothers are built differently. Y'all are machines that just don't stop. You just don't stop. Even, the other night, Kristen's home from school for a little bit. And the other night, Kristen was out doing some errands. And Melanie didn't come to bed and she was home. I'm like, she's 20 years old, almost 21 years old. And she waited up for her to make sure she was home safe. I'm like, she's 20 years old. She's in Greensboro living by herself. I think she can get from Walmart Staple home. Like, there's no dad and a mom. Not that I don't care. I love you, and I do care. Oh, sorry. She was in Greensboro. Okay, excuse me. But you just don't quit worrying. You want to quit worrying. Wouldn't it be nice, Carrie, to have a switch? I don't worry about Abby no more. God's got her. I'm not going to focus on her, think about her. She's cool. Not worried about nothing. Boy, that would be nice, but we can't turn that switch. We know God's got our kids, but we still have them too, don't we? Proverbs 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, and that is so true for my life with Melanie, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. I think about Melanie through the years of our kids, all the hard work she's done with her hands for our family, all the work in the home, all the extra stuff, just all the little things for the kids that she has done growing, as our kids have grown up. Just relentlessly working and laboring for her children. It's what moms do. Moms just don't have a turn-off switch. They just keep on, and they're like the Energizer Bunny. They keep on and on and on. I don't know how they keep going, but they do. And they just don't wear out. God gave y'all another gear that men just don't have. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. Moms just keep on keeping on in their lives, and they just don't give up. Now, we have times, you have times as moms, where we get very discouraged. You have times as moms where you think, has anything I've done been any good? Has it made any difference? I want to resoundingly say it absolutely has. There's not a word that you've spoken to your child's life that will not return in due season. They are hearing what you're saying. They're rolling their eyes. They're huffing under their breath. They're slamming doors and they're walking away. But all along, they're hearing every word you say. And the reason they're so mad at you is because they know you're right. Give yourselves a hand, Mom. You're right. And it drives them crazy because they want to be right. And they think you don't understand when they know you understand pretty good. Because, see, young people and children, if you're still in here, Mom's been through what you're going through. Mom's been through us that season. Mom was 14, 15, 16, 17. You may not realize that. She's old to you now. But she was one time young. And she went through all those seasons and all those same temptations and all those same obstacles and all those life lessons. And she realizes as she passed that knowledge on to you, okay, this is good for your life. This is not good for your life. This is good for your future. This is not good for your future. Walk this road, you'll have good success. Walk this road, you'll have bad success. But our children and our seed defy that, and they go against that, and they rebel against it. And guess what? That is normal. Did we not want to do our own thing when we were teenagers? Did we not try to go our separate ways? And like, you know, like Mark Twain's quote, and I've quoted it many times, Mark Twain, when he was 14 years old, he said, "My dad is the dumbest man in the world," at 14 years old. And when he became 21, he said, "My dad sure got smart in 7 years." Do y'all get that? Dad was always smart. He realized when he hit about 21, gee, mom and dad were right about a lot of things. So it's here's your job as a mother. You are a ship's captain, and I wish you'd been on my ship. You are a ship's captain, especially my mama. And your role is to steer your children's lives in the right direction as possible. You're trying to navigate them through all the rough waters, through all the storms of life, through all the wind that blows, through all the pulling of other things out of their lives. And your role is to steer them through those waters and charter their lives to a point of safety. You are to drive them to the lighthouse, to where they are safe. And between the open sea and the flashing lighthouse, there's a lot of stuff that happens. And it's a matter of you staying on course and living by your convictions. See, we have a lot of parents. If you're one of these, please don't take offense, but take note. You are not to be your child's best friend. You are not to be hip and cool and do things with them that go against your own convictions just to try to fit in. Your job as a parent is to love them to the point to say, you know what? You can say all you want about me. You can be mad, not speak to me and hate me. But you know what? I'm not going to stop telling you truth and loving you unconditionally to the very end. Steering them is your job. See, we do understand more than they realize. That's why we're on them. The Bible says that a father that doesn't correct his son hateth his son. That's what it says in Proverbs. Hateth his son. See, correction is a good thing. Correction means you love them. There are a lot of people I know that parents have no control of their kids, and they don't have any boundaries, and they're just like, you know, I don't care, and what do you do, do, and do. They just don't care. That's not a sign of love at all. If you love someone, you fight for them. You think I'm going to let some man come to my wife and plant a big kiss on her lips and see what, and sit back and say, "Wow, that's a pretty good kiss. Brother, teach me how to kiss like that." No. I'm going to be like saying, "We out in the yard right now. I'll be waiting on you. Let me get my tie off." I don't care how big they are. I may die, but I'll die a hero. I'll be her knight in shining armor 6 feet under, but I will die a hero. If you love someone, you fight for them. You're there for them. Always there for them. And loving them and fighting for them to a child may mean, you know what, you don't support what I'm doing. Right. Glad we got that clear. But supporting what they're doing doesn't mean you don't love them. Loving them is not supporting what they're doing because you realize it's not what's best for their future. See, parents kind of have a crystal ball a little bit. We can have a little crystal ball. If you're a parent, if you're a mother, you've got your own crystal ball because you've been there. So when you start seeing the pattern of your children's behavior, you put your genie hat on. Gee, what do I see in the future? Prison? Yeah. Jobless? Yeah. You start seeing things because of their behavior, and you can read into that. So you try to help them. This is the path you need to be on. Not because you're trying to control them. You know, we've told Christian and our son Jamie, you know, we want them to, when it's time for them to fly, fly. Go do what you need to do. You know, Christian graduates next year from college. She'll be a teacher. And if she needs to leave North Carolina, which I understand, to be a teacher, we're fine with that. Because, see, this is her dream. This is her life. I want her, and Mama said that too. Even see, here, Mama, let me tell you something. When you let go of your children, you're loving them to the fullest. Never place a guilt trip on your child for your own selfish ambitions.
Never say, don't leave me. I can't live without. Let them live. Let them live. I don't know where my children end up. Ashley wants to go to Australia for some reason. She wants to be a veterinarian in Australia. Whatever. I won't be going to see her very much because I'm not being in a plane that long. And the boat. So we'll be just texting very expensively. We want our kids to fly. We truly do. My son will be finishing up high school this year, and whatever his plan is, I'm fine with that. I want you to fly. I want you to do what you need to do. True love releases, but until it can release, it steers and it guides and it points. And moms, when you get to a certain point, you're not going to control your 20, 25, 30, 35, 40-year-old kid no more. So you got to back off and say, I've done what I can do. I've sown the seed. Now God's got to take over from here and do the rest. That's our job. You are seed sowers. Keep talking to your children. Keep investing in your children. They may shut you out. They may put their little earbuds in. I'm not listening. But you know what you don't know? They don't have the volume up. They want to hear what you got to say. They won't tell you that. But they're hearing you. They pretend they don't hear you. Kind of like Manly talks about me not listening to her. You know, guys don't listen near as good. I listen to the important stuff. I listen to the key things. You didn't hear what I said. Yeah, I did. And I'll recap. Say, I heard what you said. Not always, but I do listen. Oh, everything you say is important. Oh, yes, honey. I'm sorry. Everything you say is important, my beautiful wife. You're right. Exactly. But they're listening to you. So keep talking to them. Keep investing. Moms, you keep working. Your light doesn't burn. Don't let your light go out. Because your light can be the only light they're really seeing. That's the right light. What verse am I on? 19. She layeth her hands at the spindle. Her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. She reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She provides for her family. You know, I remember growing up, my mom, back in the old days, and people don't do this anymore much, but in the old days, you sewed clothes. Did you ever sew when you was growing up, or as a young mom, did you ever sew clothes? My mom sewed clothes. My mom made me whole outfits. We'd make dresses, and we'd make pants for men, shirts, and we'd sew. Did I say dresses? Can you say Norman Bates? I meant dresses for her, not for me, y'all. God. She made dresses for her, not for me. The only time I wore a dress was when I was at Walmart one time for a challenge, and that was the only time I wore a dress. Now, some of y'all remember that. Sharon remembers that, and Karina remembers that, where I wore a dress and came out with hose and high heels and danced and got some dollar bills. Anyway, it was a time I passed. But I remember when Mom sewed clothes and made clothes. She took care of her home. She provided. You know, I remember as growing up that we had dinner about 5 o'clock, between 5 and 5:30, usually around 5, a little after 5, we'd have dinner every night. Dad got off work and give us no time to kind of sit down, refresh, whatever, and then Mom would have dinner on a schedule. I knew when dinner was, you know. And Mom would clean up and, you know, take care of the house and mop the floor and polish the furniture and do all the laundry and, you know, just all of that. And it never stops. See, us guys, we can just kind of walk away, can't we? Roger's getting a truck. I go to Oklahoma, honey. I see you. Sorry about that pile of laundry and all that mess I left in the bathroom and the kitchen and, you know, but I got to go. They called. What do you want me? I got to make money. But I'll be thinking about you. So there Loretta left. Mountain of clothes, mountain of dishes. She works too. Ain't had no sleep. In a bad, grouchy mood. Roger leaves for 4 or 5 days. At least hurt the mess. And you know what? Roger knows when he comes back off that truck, guess what? There'll be clean dishes and clean laundry and a meal waiting on him. Or used to be. Maybe not so much now. But used to be. Knows that. Moms just do that kind of stuff. They're just different. And I've seen it firsthand with my wife. She's a wonderful mother. Always has been just a wonderful mother. She maketh herself coverings, verse 22, of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known the gates when he is sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen. She selleth it. She delivereth girdles unto the merchant. I remember as a kid,
My mom stayed home with me most of my life, but she did some part-time things around my schedule. So I wasn't left with a babysitter or home. I was a little bit. I went to a little daycare one time. Hated it. Angela was there with me. Hated the daycare. I dreaded it, and she pulled me out, and I still got scarred images of that daycare. A woman named Mo. It was just, anyway, it was just not good. No water. I go ask for some water. I get one of them little paper cups that big of water. I mean, two gulps, and I'd be like, can I have some more? And they'd give you that. I mean, to me, Mo was old then. I bet she's probably not alive now. She looked 90 then, and scary. You want my water? I mean, it's a daycare. I wanted mama, okay? So she pulled me out. But most of my life, mom stayed home with me, and she would do things around my schedule. Mom sold Avon for many years. And so when she would get all her Avon stuff in, she had to pack it in bags, staple it up, you know, whatever, and deliver it. So where was I at? In the car with her. So I'd be in the car. She delivered Avon. Sometimes I'd sit in the car. Sometimes I'd go in. It was boring as everything. Oh, my gosh. I was bored. But you know what? Mom was there with me. And then mom did something. Mothers never do this to your children. Did something so embarrassing to me when I was a little boy. Never do this to your children. I was going to Ebenezer School right here, third, fourth, fifth grade. And she would sell Avon to some of my teachers. Well, guess who had to deliver the Avon bag into the classroom? Hey, Miss Lunster, here's your Avon bag. All the kids are looking at you talking about, I'd have been in a dress. I mean, that was embarrassing. So don't do that to your kids. I'm like, can you not deliver it personally or at their home? You're sending me in school to save a little gas. I don't know what you're doing. But it scarred me. But mom was there as a little boy to take care of me. And I always do remember that. And she worked around a schedule until I got older. And those important, formidable years, she was there in my life. And they sacrificed finance for that to be home with me. And Melanie stayed home with our first two. Melanie was home for most of their young life. And she was home with them and 24 hours a day being just a mom. And it doesn't stop for y'all. It really doesn't stop. And I appreciate all that you do for your families and for your children. Strength and honor, verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opened up her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. Is that not so true? She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. They're always working. Moms, you're always working. You're never idle. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband, he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. The number one role, moms, you can do for your children is you teach them the ways of the Lord. Because, see, life lessons, they're important, yes. But apart from knowing about the Lord, it doesn't really matter. Because if you teach them about Jesus, you teach them about God, you teach them about what His Word says, that will follow them all their days and become a living part of their decision-making. It'll become a living part because as they get older, what would God want me to do? What does His Word say I should do? You know, you see many people that get out of church when they're 17, 18, 19, they start dropping out of church. They're older, they start working, they get the teenage years, they drop out. And then when they hit about 30 again, they come back to the church. They get through all their wild oat sowing season. They get through all their trying to find themselves. And once they settle down, especially if they start having their own children, they realize how important it is their child's in church. And their child hears about Jesus because you heard about Jesus and the difference it made in your life. You keep sowing that seed. You keep being that mom. You don't let go. Mom, you are warriors, the video said. You do battle for your children. When no one else loves them, you love them. When there's nowhere else they can turn, they know they can turn to you. When no one else prays for them, they know mama's praying for me. When all their friends abandon them and everybody leaves them and everybody forsakes them, they know mama will never leave them and never forsake them, just like the love of our Father, where God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you to the end of the world. So is mom. There's no greater gift than being a mom. And each one of you have different amount of kids, from 1 to 6, 7, 8, however many kids you have. And I want you to understand that God would not have gave you those seeds if you weren't equipped and weren't called to raise them. You may have kids that are grown that are not following God. You may have kids that are in a bad way right now. You may have kids that are on drugs. You may have kids that are locked up in prison. You may have kids that never come home and talk to you. You may have kids that are just living their lives completely for themselves. and it hurts you. But you keep working, and you keep sowing, and you keep speaking, and you keep praying, and you keep believing, and you don't let go. Because moms, if you let go of your children, who else would ever take them? If moms let go of their children, there's nobody else there, really, to hold them. Love your children. Embrace your children. And thank God for your children. God gave them to you. You were chosen to be a bearer of life. You brought a human being into the world. It's your job, and it's a hard job, to develop that seed to its fullest maturity. And the hardest thing about a mom, it's ongoing, and it's many years before you realize the investment you made, how it turned out. Because you think you're doing good, then they hit the bump in the road at 13 or 14 or 16 or 18 or 21, and things can turn. Kind of like a hurricane, how it can go one way and then turn. It turns. Sometimes our kids' lives turn back and forth, one season to another season. But you keep on sowing, you keep on believing, you keep on being the mom they need you to be. Listen to them, pray for them, and love them, and speak things into their lives that's going to bring forth success in their lives. They're your seed. You fight for them. You believe in them, and you stand up for them. There is nothing more powerful than a fighting mama. I'm going to tell you that because mamas just don't let go. Mamas are there forever and ever and ever. We have a lot of moms here today, and you're raising kids different ages, different seasons. Some of you are raising your grandkids or maybe stepkids, maybe nieces and nephews you're raising, whatever you're raising. But you have a responsibility. Don't give up on your children. Don't give up, no matter how old they are, how bad it looks. Don't give up on them. Don't let your candlelight burn out. Not till the very end when you're off the earth and can do no more. Because, see, when you're on that last leg of your life and you're laying there, you want to know, I did all that I could for my children. God, I did all that I could. I invested everything that I possibly could into my children's lives. And as I leave this earth, I pray that you take over from this point. And you raise up the seed I planted, that they'll become what you want them to become. There's no better safety than a mom. There's no better love than a mom. And that love is seen through God, who loves us unconditionally, who loves you unconditionally. You're not alone in here, church. Many of you have lost your mother. You no longer have your mom. You think about her every day of your life. You don't have her anymore in your life. But you know what? You had her all the years on the earth to give you what you needed to get you to where you are now. So for those of you that lost mom, I offer my condolences that you have mom no more in the world. But you'll see mom again. You'll be together again. It's just a very temporary separation of journey we're having right now. So love your mom. Children, young people, teens, love your mom. You only got one. Love them. If they weren't here tomorrow, we take life for such granted. If mom wasn't here tomorrow, how empty our life would become. If mom was gone tomorrow, what a void that would create. Love your mama. Show your mama respect. The Bible says to children to honor their father and mother, and their days shall be long. Honor them, even when they're wrong. And I realize moms can be wrong. Not my mom. Moms can be wrong. Yes. But you know what? We still honor them. I'm a grown man. I don't have to get spankings no more. I can't get time out. What a joke that is. Time out, yeah. Tied is what it should be. But anyway, I can't get in trouble no more with my parents. I can do what I want. I can do what I want. I can turn all the lights on the house, run the hot water, leave the refrigerator door open. Dad can't do nothing about it. It's my house. Nah. I ain't got to listen to my mom and dad. They can give me advice, and I ain't got to listen to it. But you know what? I've got to honor them, even as a grown man. See, honoring our parents, honoring our mothers doesn't stop when we hit 18. It's an entire life we honor our moms. That's what God said. We honor them. Something about a mom that is just different. It's just special. We want to do something this morning. I want to, first of all, Kevin, come on up here. Get on this piano. We got something. We'll do a little drawing for the moms, and we do have something for each mom this morning. But if you would, I want all the mothers in here to make your way up here like we do every year. And
just make a line. Some of you need to come on stage. Some of you need to be on the floor. And just line up here. If you're a mom today, I want you to walk up here and get lined up. Yes. Hey, Doc, we get the teachers that are moms. Bring them in here. The teachers. Y'all get up on stage on that side. Mom, Karina, y'all step up here on stage. Make room for everybody. Y'all slide up on stage, y'all. Fill that whole stage in so we can get a picture. There's room over there. Thank you, Doc. Y'all look around the seats in the sanctuary now. What do you see? A lot of blue, don't you? Look at all these mothers. Aren't they beautiful? Y'all give them a hand. Aren't they beautiful? Anna did babysit me when I was a little boy some, and she was a wonderful babysitter. She said I was a wonderful child. I was quiet. I want to do something for you mothers today. I've never done this, I don't think, before Mother's Day, but I just felt impressed last night by the Holy Spirit to do a declaration prayer over your lives. Y'all have many challenges in your lives, even if you got older kids. You know, I look at Dee, who has two small kids, a single mother raising these kids, you know, and they're little. And then we have some of you that have kids in your 40s and 50s that maybe you're still struggling with. They're just not doing what you've told them to do, and you're frustrated with that. You're in different seasons of your lives, and they're hard seasons. And you worry about the future. You worry about Skylar's life, what's going to happen to her. So little, how can I protect her from the world and keep her safe? Each one of us each one of you are facing a different challenge. And I want to just pray a prayer of God's strength, of God's wisdom, of God's anointing to anoint you to be the mother God's called you to be. See, I believe that. I believe God can cause an anointing of motherhood, an anointing that is more than just being a natural mom, but an anointing that gives you a spiritual power of motherhood to break through for your children, to be the one that helps break through and break the chains that's holding your children's lives bound. For some of you, you're worried about your child's future. Some of you are worried about where they are now. Some of you don't, you don't know what's going to happen. I want to pray a prayer of peace and protection and sealing upon your children. Mothers, join hands with the one beside you. You all share the same thing. You're all moms. And there's no one that loves their kids more than another that's up here. You love Greg as much as she loves Zuri. You love Zoe as much as you love Diane.
Father, for these mothers right now, God, the role they have is so hard. They battle every day. They're battling spiritual warfare for their children. They see mistakes being made, and they see the fears that's trying to compass them, and they see wrong direction of their lives, and they can't do anything about it on their own, God. But you can. And I want to pray a declaration of a new anointing upon these mothers, an anointing to stand, an anointing to fight, an anointing to press through, an anointing not to give up, an anointing that the light will not burn out, an anointing to say, this is my child, these are my children, this is my seed, and they will not be destroyed by the hand of the enemy. Give them strength today to keep fighting, to keep working, to keep battling, to keep standing and declaring goodness upon their seed. No matter how it looks, no matter where they're at, no matter how many times they prayed, give them today a new anointing to fight and to stand in the name of Jesus. Anoint these mothers with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. Y'all stay up here. Got to draw.